search. Each man different, living his own way, searching, discovering numero uno.
Welcome, BBCers, to episode number 172 of the Broken by Concept podcast, the number one solitude educational and motivational podcast. Curtis, last week I touched a little bit on some experiment that I've sort of been doing on my twitch.tv stream. I did a big plug in the last episode.
You can't miss it.
I got the other plug in. Roll up for the show.
Yep.
So what I've been doing is live coaching. Now what, let's say people that don't know what live coaching is, I guess another way of saying it is backseat gaming. Basically, someone comes on my stream and I'm just telling them decision making, what to do. And then I implement what we talk a lot about on our podcast, the end of review process, where once they make one major mistake, see you later, move on to the next person. And we also have a strike system. So like things like missing smites, resetting your camps, just really poor execution of fights. You'll get a strike and three strikes, you're out. It's like three strikes, you're out, right? Mm-hmm. So I want to share some findings that I've had here, because you and I have been very critical of live coaching in the past, right? You know, we have our thoughts of it, you know, at the end of the day, you know, we review all day. That's how we've gotten results with our clients. This is a thing that, you know, it has its pros and cons. So I've actually listed out pros and cons. What I've actually done is I've actually made an FAQ on my stream to actually explain these are the pros and cons of what happens when you come on stream here and what to expect. Mm. So I wanted to share some findings here, you know. And, you know, at the end of the day, this is a, you know, we're coaches, so we're, you know, people can go on our coaching journey as well. And I guess this is some of my observations. So do we want the good news or the bad news first, Curtis?
Let's start with the positives.
Let's do the positive. All right. So some pros of live coaching / backseat gaming. It's a great way I've found to demonstrate the amount of information you need to process in real time. So people sometimes see in the stream, and I've had people say in Salto as well, it's like, wow, it's crazy how much Nathan is thinking about in every single given moment. There's no downtime. Like, I realize that there's no downtime in League. You don't have time to just sit back, relax, and hit your camps. So it's really good to sort of demonstrate, okay, this is how a high elo challenger player thinks. Let's try and match both of those. And you get to see that in real time. Mm. And I think people really don't actually aware. I've found that they don't really know how much you need to be thinking about in the game. You get to see key reference points that I consider throughout the game. So things that I'm thinking about big picture. Okay, my Mordekaiser is 4-0, good into their team comp. I got to think about my team's ults. Like I'm constantly talking about reference points. And it's great for, I think, people to see. And again, people have said that it's awesome to see. These are the, you know, we talk about North Star in the game. This is your North Star in this game. Because people always say, you know, what do I do? How do I, you know, win the game, mid-game stuff? I'm always constantly saying, this is what the next objective, this is what we got to do. This is our reference point. So sort of just demonstrating again what, you know, how to close out games, what sort of stuff.
Do you typically, like, how's it work? Do you, like, ask them what they think it is?
No, this is just straight up. I'm just shoving stuff down their throats. We don't have time to have a conversation.
And so the intention is for them to essentially feel out.
Feel it out, yes.
What playing like this would be like.
What would it feel like?
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's an unedited representation of the average solo queue experience. And this is actually something I've noticed as well, because I always think, okay, what is... Because obviously people bring certain games to us in review sessions, right? Like, say you're a come coach in, and I always wonder, like, what does the average mistake look like for this fight? Because, you know, you have your clients, you probably experienced this, right? We've talked about this. They nitpick certain types of games, and I don't get to see their real experience of their games. And this is it. It's straight up live. And it's been very interesting, especially because I have a lot of my Soul 2 members come on, right? So I get to sometimes see the behind the scenes in a way. I feel like that's what I'm watching in a way.
So what have you noticed in terms of differences versus their gameplay versus the VODs they bring?
Oh, just, just really basic execution errors and stuff sometimes that they don't show me, or certain types of games, like let's say they'll fumble in certain types of situations when there's too much information or stuff like that. Or dude, the biggest one is just information collecting, camera control and stuff like that. Sometimes I don't really see it properly in a VOD, in a review VOD, but you really see it in live coaching, even though you could do it because you know how, like, when you're in a game, you're like, It's a different experience than actually reviewing the game, just flat out, because you don't know what you're feeling and that sort of stuff. But I get to see it in real time, And there's lots of things as well that I've noticed in live coaching. I can't even really explain, even if I was to sit back. It sort of challenged me a lot in terms of thinking about my coaching, just from my reviews as well. It's like, how do I explain this here? Or I've noticed that this is what a lot of people's weaknesses are in specific ranks as well, like Emerald, because I get mostly, you know, Platinum, Emerald. I don't really have too many, interestingly enough, like below Gold. Maybe that's just my audience and stuff like that. Come on. So those are the three main positives that I've sort of seen.
That's really interesting. No, I think you're onto something there, though, in terms of seeing what the unedited, no bullshit gameplay looks like. And I think what you're referring to there as well is how they control their camera, why they're controlling their camera
that
way.
That's the key thing. Why? Yeah.
What are they not looking for, and why are they not looking for that?
I'm not saying this in the coaching or the stream, but this is what I'm thinking about observing. Like, yeah. And I'll finish the stream and I'll think, oh, okay, that's interesting. Like, again, it's sort of like showing me where to prioritize my attention, my effort a little bit more.
It's actually really interesting because what it would do, it would give you an extremely clear picture about what it's like to play at this level from start to finish type thing.
Yeah.
Because when we do a VOD review, right? I mean, not only are we having to deal with, like you said, the challenges of them just nitpicking a VOD or bringing one that they feel is a good VOD to learn from, when in reality it might not be a great. This is like exactly what their gameplay will be like. But when you're going through a VOD, you're kind of skimming through things, right? You're like in the lull stage, you're like skim through a little bit of things and you're like, oh yeah, that's that, that's that. But here you're having to actually sit through every second.
Millisecond, yeah.
As if you're playing, and that you could kind of envision what it would be like to be at that rank. So it would actually give you even more clarity over what is the differentiating factors between it, each rank, wouldn't it? So it's kind of like I feel like in a way, it's kind of a selfish experience for the coach.
Yeah, that's right. It's actually more helpful for the coach.
Yeah, I feel like it's more helpful for you than it is for them. I mean, I think it's a cool novel experience.
Yeah.
I mean, just from the outside, from me observing, I think it's more of like, cool, I got backseat game.
Yeah.
It's a show. It's like, cool, I got backseat game from Nathan. You know, I kind of view it as like, you know how you can go down to the racetrack and you can sit in like a supercar with like a driver. But you're like, you're not driving the car. They're driving the car and you're like in the passenger seat. And you get to feel what it would like to be driving around the famous racetrack, you know, like the Bathurst in like a V8 supercar. That's kind of like the way I view it. It's like, oh, I did that. I ticked that box. It's kind of like, I've now done that. It's not that they don't get anything from it. They still get something
from it. They'll still learn as well how it feels like.
How it feels, like how it feels. Even though they may not be able to replicate that, it might reignite something like, oh, shit. Oh, interesting. That's how it feels to be able to do that thing that way. Because, I mean, I tuned into one of your first 5 minutes of a Nocturne game. And the Nocturne kind of path barred. And you said, like, you know, go for this gank. And he, like, went for this gank that you asked him a question. Would you have done this gank? And he said, no, like, I wouldn't have done that or something like that. And even if you wouldn't be able to replicate that, you've planted that seed in there. It's like, oh, interesting. You've maybe unlocked
These are the options available, yeah.
Yeah, you've unlocked another thing that maybe it would have taken months for him to actually feel that in the game. But the thing is, you don't know how much you're going to get from each game, right? I mean, that's the thing. But yeah, it's like an experience. But I think tying this all together, it's more beneficial for you.
Yep.
I think you'd be learning a lot. It's very interesting. I never viewed it like that.
So what I'm doing now is, like, again, I'm still in the very experimentation stage, but I think what I'm going to do, like, I'm going to start like writing down some notes like after the stream, or even during the stream. Like, I'm going to have like an old notepad thinking that's an interesting topic I should maybe cover here or something like that. Because like, I've definitely seen, like, end of the day, this is once again reinforcing that everyone's exactly where they should be. They're like, I see no one that sort of like does crazy things. I'm like, this play should actually be a challenge play. Not even close, right? There's like Emerald. Yep, makes sense. Emerald, and I'm seeing just straight up trends. Just again, once around reinforcing rank system is flawless.
Yeah, it's interesting. When you started doing this, I thought it was just going to be completely more like a meme, like an entertainment, like a show, getting across your personality. But, you know, the more talking about it, it actually seems like a legitimate thing. Obviously not a replacement, but for your coaching, but it's kind of like an extra thing on top of it.
Little add-on,
A little add-on, like an interesting little experiment. Definitely got me thinking, what would it look like for mid lane? Because I've actually thought about that. But I feel like if I were to do it, I wouldn't talk as much. I think I would chime in every now and then. Like, I've really tried to visualize, what would I say?
Yes.
Because
that's so interesting that you found that, because I never thought about how much I was talking.
Yeah.
beforehand, but I need to talk less, specifically. Yeah, you don't need to be talking every single moment. Like, I have this meme that I saw. So I'm like, I'm hands off for this fight. You literally can't coach fights.
No,
it's impossible because you can't. They're just going to play worse and they'll fumble and like they whatever they see, they see, because you can't talk faster than you can actually think, right? So yeah, that's so interesting that you already visualize that, because you're right. You need to talk less.
You think you need to talk a little bit less. Yeah. I think you're a bit overwhelmed.
That's part of the show though,
right? Yeah, it makes it more entertaining. Yeah. I agree. But yeah, I thought about that, and it'd be interesting. I might just experiment with it just for fun.
Like, lots of people in my streamers say, "Oh, you gotta convince Coach Curtis to do this."
I'm actually intrigued now just to try it. Like, I don't think it's something I would do long term, but I think I might just do it as like a little bit of like, just for my coaching, like more selfish reasons. Like,
yeah,
it'd be interesting to look at the game through the lens of someone else at that rank.
We've had the conversation as well, is jungle just has a luxury because there's. Again, I don't want to say lull state. I mean, it is lull states. Like, you're not interacting with
someone as often.
So I have time to get all the information.
So I remember there was a sequence where the Nocturne in that game, he like lost a fight. And then he's like, he goes to like Raptor Camp. He's like, where do I go? And he's like, oh yeah, just part topside. And then you have like 15, 20 seconds to just talk.
Talk, yeah.
While he's just clearing camps,
yes.
But the only time you'd be able to do that as a mid laner is like kind of, I guess, in between waves and then like coming out of base. But that wouldn't be as often or as much. Like, the time frame wouldn't be as large as a jungle. So I think it's still hard for a jungle. Don't get me wrong. But I think it would be even harder for a laner.
Definitely. Yeah.
It'd be very different. I don't know what it would look like for a laner.
I agree. I think it would look a lot different.
It would look very different. I agree.
Like, maybe it's like really little like chime in. It's like, this is what you need to be thinking about for this ability. Or like in the lane phase, like make sure you're thinking about their ability.
Yeah, so what I was actually thinking is like just really subtle things. Like, for example, like, say they're in lane, like lean a little bit more on top side here. Where's your ward? You know, remind, like more of like a reminding and getting to feel what it's like to play good fundamental legal. Because the challenge in mid lane specifically is not really what you need to do. It's having the mental capacity to remind yourself of what you need to do. So I think like the benefit of obviously backseat gaming is that I'm not telling them how to play the lane, really. I don't think I would tell them that. I think I wouldn't tell them how to trade per se. I might make very, very minor adjustments, but like what I'm there to do is be that extra like 25% of their mental stack. I'm giving them an extra 25% so then they can, you know, then I could remind them of the things they're forgetting. And then they can feel what it's like to play beautiful League of Legends for like a lane, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't know. That's what I envision. It could be completely different. Yeah. I don't know until I do it.
No, so. I think you're onto something there for sure.
And in LoL states, like you said, I think feeling out, like knowing your role, like the power of like having intention with the way you fight. Like, okay, here in your role, your role in fights here is to peel your AD carry. Got hands off and you do your thing, you know? Mm-hmm. But like the idea of having a North Star, like you said, I think a lot of people don't even know what that feels
No, they don't. No, absolutely not. They just go through and just waiting for things to happen. They'll just do things rather than thinking like, again, I'm definitely demonstrating like how much you can take control of a game. Like we're aware like on the stream of absolutely everything, right?
I actually think that's the number one benefit. I think you just highlighted it right there. A lot of people in League, what is the major critique? I feel like I don't have much control over the game. I don't feel like I have much emphasis on the game. But we know you can have a hell of a lot of impact on a game from all these little things that you're doing. But then, like, imagine if they were to have live coaching from you, feel it out. Holy shit, there's all these things I could be doing. Even if they can't replicate that, they know that it is possible in the future. So at least I have something to work towards. Like, holy shit, I remember when I did that with Nathan, I felt overpowered.
Yeah.
That is what is possible. But, you know, for a lot of people, they don't even know what is possible. They don't even know what it remotely feels like. So that's actually an interesting benefit of it.
I feel like it's a lot of things. Again, we're using a lot of words of feeling and thinking about possibilities. It's sort of, again, it's a show of, again, what high performance in League can look like.
Mm.
And what I've actually said in my FAQ is, what are the purpose of the stream? I want to show people how fun League can be when we're taking responsibility for our mistakes. Show what end of review mistakes type look like.
Do you review any of the games?
No, so I have this is actually an FAQ because people say, okay, well, Nathan, why don't you review the game, right? That's a huge part, important part. That's actually the time that I need to catch my breath.
Right.
I genuinely not going to do it. I always say, okay, if you want to learn a review, just join Saltu.
Right.
I'm not going to go through a review on the stream because I'm busting my balls, dude. Like, it is really mentally straining. Because I'm not only thinking about the decision maker, but I'm thinking how to communicate that across. And also, because like, dude, it's hard. Like, you can't make mistakes, even as a coach. Like, I actually fall for the trap that sometimes players do. Like, I'll actually be talking about something. I'll be focusing on, like, oh, you can gank this. Something new happens, and I actually miss some things sometimes. So imagine that. I'm missing things, being the luxury of not having to control the character. That's how hard fucking hard league is. Now, that doesn't happen that often. Like, we're pretty on point. I'm pretty on point with everything that should be happening. But the fact that I can, if I lose focus for a little bit.
You can ruin the game for them.
Yes. The game is ruined, straight up.
Yeah.
So it's so scary.
Yeah, you're essentially playing the game.
I'm basically playing the game, yeah. So it's really mentally taxing. I need to basically, in between each person, that's where I sort of catch my breath a little bit there. I just need to recharge my mental.
Yeah, that's the thing that scares me from doing it, is that, like, I'm already so busy in my day.
Oh, dude,
and, like, I'm already need to reset, you know, what, you know, even more, doing more than that, I feel like it's going to be hard, but... Look, I might do it as like a week experiment or something. See what it feels like for a week. But I can't see it being sustainable for me anyway.
Yeah.
I'll see what happens though.
Definitely see that. I can definitely see myself getting burnt out, dude. Because I do go 3-4 hour straight up sessions. That's no brutal, break, man. No food.
I don't even know how you do that.
I get excited when I've got the odd like diamond play or something like that. I get like a 4-5 minute cruise. I'm like, oh, thank God.
Yeah, right. Can imagine.
All right. So let's move on. Oh, actually, I have some more positives. This is actually another one that I didn't think about. This is literally a quote from someone that was on the stream saying, I feel so enlightened. I went into a game and I actually felt like clarity. Kept repeating to myself, just focus on me. Focus on making a good decision. Focus on what's doing best for you. Just constantly vocalizing what I want to accomplish and talking to myself like as if I'm live coaching myself. Actually clicked so hard. And he says, the Nathan live coaching voice is OP needs a nerf. And what he's sort of talking about there is, so, because what I am doing and everyone watching the stream, I have these catchphrases. I keep repeating the same things over and over again. And because it's again sort of a show, I'm saying, okay, you know, don't check out. Like, come on, I know we're 6-0. Don't care. What's next? Like, let's keep focusing. Like, you know, what's next? What's our, who's our strongest members? And this is subconsciously getting in people, especially the people I live coach, because I've done him like 4 or 5 times. And he's now hearing my voice during his game. And I've got that reported a lot, which is really interesting, of the catchphrases that I'm using. So it's sort of like I'm like a guide of like, okay, what would Nathan be saying to me right now?
You're kind of helping them asking those high quality questions that should be...
That I'm constantly repeating, because that's how we learn, right? Repeating the same thing over and over again. So because I keep repeating the same things over and over again, that's sticking with people.
Interesting.
Hmm.
Yeah, you probably wouldn't have found that out until you just did it, right?
No, I had no idea. Interesting. I never thought that like my voice would be so repetitive that you can't forget it in your own game.
That's the positive of doing what you're doing, like the talking a lot,
yeah,
right, versus not as much.
And I make like a big dramatic thing about it, you know. I'm like saying, you know, don't miss a smite and stuff like that. All right, so we'll move on to some cons that I found. We sort of discussed a little bit of it already, I guess. Our biggest one is simply most people play worse on, especially on streams. Not only when someone's in your ear, you know, telling you what to do, but also, you know, there's a stream. They're really new. People are really nervous, and people just straight up say like, "Oh, I probably would have been able to execute that if I wasn't on stream," which is true. Especially some of my high elo players, like they just fumble the bag. Mm. Like Jesus, it looks like a bronze player. Mm. You know what I mean? If like they're master tier, so they play worse. They're not playing at their best. And a lot of the time, you know, when we say, you know, you got to bring reviews to us, like, okay, show me what you're at your best, and then we can figure it out, right? So if I'm not seeing people on stream at their best, you know, is there much to learn there? You know, so I think a lot of the time, what I'm seeing here is I have great sessions, especially sessions that are going for a good amount of time. Like they haven't ended the review. We're at like 10, 15 minutes. I feel like a big part of it is learning, showing people how to close out games in the mid game. Mm. That's what I think is actually a really valuable thing for the stream. But if it's just like a, you know, we're 5 minutes in the game, we fuck up some skirmishing top river. That's it.
So it's interesting because again, even though, yeah, I think you raise a good point, because if they're not playing at their level of play and then you're critiquing, you're helping them and they're playing below, all you might be doing is bringing them up just to their level of play anyway.
Yes, they don't learn anything.
So there's not really much to take away. I will say as well though, again, what you're doing isn't a replacement for coaching.
For, like, reviewing, think, for reviewing, reviewing, yeah, reviewing,
right?
Yeah,
it's not a replacement. Absolutely at not. All. Like, no. I, like, that's the what I'm getting from
the
this.
Fact that I can sit back in a review and say, like, this is why this is a bad game. I can explain the thought process.
And again, the my biggest problem with the whole thing is that you're impeding their decisions.
Yes,
so they're not actually getting the learning.
I'm giving them all the answers.
You're giving them, yeah, exactly. It's like they need to know what the formula is, how to use the formula, and then do it. You're just giving them the answer, the question, answer. That's essentially, yeah. It's like cheating, right?
It's interesting because it's actually, yeah, double that, because number one, you're not thinking for yourself. No. So you actually play worse when you don't think for yourself as well, because you need to be, again, you
need to understand the context of where that, what the mindset behind that piece of information is.
Exactly right. Like, and you can't articulate it. It's impossible to articulate it.
Because I've noticed this when I watch you as well. There's like these moments where, oh, it's like you couldn't even talk.
Yeah, I'm showing.
And you can't articulate why though. Because yeah. What it sounds like, even just observing it, it's like, he's like, does that mean Nathan wants me to go? But the mindset you would have is like you've got one toe in the water type thing. You're like, you're looking for it. And you're looking for something. You're looking for like that overstep, that little bit too much, and then you would go.
Capitalize,
but there's no
they're
word
not ready
for that.
Yeah, there's no word for that.
You,
yeah.
you can't package that up in a word.
Sometimes I say, yeah, like, okay, you need to do this, but I need you to be thinking about if this person oversteps for this, you know, this minion wave, or they over, you know.
But that's a mindset, right? It's hard, it is a mindset. Yeah. Like, you know, we talk about in my guides, in the MLS, like, we have a slight of mindset, and that mindset, it can be kind of characterized or like captured by like an analogy or a metaphor. Like, for example, with my Oriana guide, I talk about it as the Floyd Mayweather mindset. Like, you just want to, like, you know, utilize, like, you don't really want to go for massive big hits. You don't want to go for the knockout punch. You're just like chipping them down, not taking damage, chipping them down, like small, it's like small wins, right? That's a mindset that gets across the way you need to be feeling, what you need to be prioritizing. Like, but in a game of League, there's like, you don't just have like a flat mindset through the entirety of the game. Like, your mindset might evolve a little bit.
Too many variables.
Too many variables at play, right? Like, especially as a jungler, like, based on the win con, like, depending on what the win con is and the stage of the game, you might have a very aggressive, like, get shit done mindset. And then actually sometimes you actually got to just chill, relax, farm. But like, you got to change that mindset throughout the entirety of the game. And that's what... The mindset directs where you're directing your attention. That shapes where you're directing your attention and why you're directing your attention there. So I can see how that would be very overwhelming for the client.
A great example I'm already thinking now is, you know, when like a mid laner or a top laner support roams, and then I say, catch them coming back to their lane.
Yeah, I saw that.
But they don't know where to stand. They don't know where I mean.
Right.
Like, I sometimes have to say exactly where to go, but like, because sometimes you can't, like, you got to go straight because they might miss the window. It's a really short window. Yeah. And like, I think, I don't know if you saw the one today, but he started standing in the river, but he needed to.
Yeah, the Nocturne game.
Yeah,
right?
He thought he was going to run through river. It's like, no, the AK is going to walk around the long way. And he missed the opportunity. I got really angry, right? Because, and it's hard. I can't articulate that.
It's very
hard. Because you get to cut, you got to instantly go punish that sort of stuff. So again, but that's a good one. That's again, going back to, that shows them the options. Like,
right.
Like the fact that I'm focusing on that means it's a really big play, and then you get to deny all that.
Yeah. But in these live reviews, you can't even get into why they missed it though. That's the difference.
No.
Because when you're doing like a VOD, you can be like, this is what you should have done and how you would come to that conclusion. You can talk about the mindset, where you would need to be directing your attention, when you would have processed that information. You could get like infinitely in depth. You know?
And you can also ask the client as well what they're thinking.
Yeah, how
the situation.
Are they feeling?
So then you can,
it's like a snapshot. What were you actually thinking now?
Start with that and then you can explain it.
Yeah. So this is different.
So the thinking for yourself is really interesting. So again, there's two negatives for it. The thinking for self. Thinking for yourself because you play worse and not thinking for yourself because I'm doing the thinking for you. You're automatically playing worse because of that. And the second part of that is because I'm telling you exactly what to do, you're not actually taking any learnings for it.
Yeah.
So the thinking for yourself in League is extremely important. I've actually noticed that as well. Like, you know, guys, everyone can in watching, listening can think games where they're purely thinking for themselves, not compensating for pings, they're just fully confident. Those are usually your best games. Again, imagine if you got someone live coaching you, you know. So there is, that's again a really big downside that I've found from it. So, because if I think as well about, you know, going to like how much gems come from the games, if I do, because I can do about we do about probably 7 or 8 games in like 3-4 hours, right? Probably more than that. Sometimes if we have faster, it's probably up to 10 games. Maybe 2 or 3. So about 30% of the games would be like, this is a really interesting, and I use the, I put like those on YouTube.
They get something for, they genuinely
yeah,
get something.
Yeah, like there's some great gems in here. Like this should, this is a coaching session people need to watch.
Right, right. Yeah. So you're saying 30% of them are like genuinely good.
Yeah.
What percent of, so what percentage of them, are, I'm assuming this average and then bad. Like, well, how's that work? Or are they all just bad? So it's either gems or bad.
No, no, you have ones that are okay. Sometimes there's just weird shit that happens in the game that's not really consistent or right. applicable or something like that. And then you've got the games that are just straight up misexecution, just like, just, you know, end of review, not really much to learn here. And then you've got the ones that are just like, sometimes just really hard games. Like there's just, yeah, it's just a brutal
shit doesn't
hard
go
game.
Your way.
Yeah.
Maybe an invade.
And shit's going their way. Just everything's clicking right. for them, yeah, you know, yeah. just yeah. like the timing. Oh shit. My laner dies just yeah. as I leave here. Yeah. And you know, but yeah, it's definitely very interesting. Okay, what are some other negatives here? I've got written here as well. League is such a fast-paced game. Decision-making can change in split seconds, and sometimes, you know, I can't articulate what to do fast enough. Yep. It's just not possible. I can't talk faster than my brain thinks. And then our last one here, sometimes you won't understand why I'm making certain decisions unless you review with me afterwards, after you do the review.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, an interesting experiment nonetheless, man.
It's fun though. I actually enjoyed it a lot.
You
I enjoyed
like
it
a lot. Blast.
Yeah, dude, it's really fun. I don't know if it's because I love League or the role itself. Jungle is just.
I think
it's awesome.
The also streaming, it allows us to get across a lot more.
Yes,
because like when you do a video, you're kind of like capped. It's like I can only really talk about like this and maybe like a little bit extra. You're kind of constrained with what you can talk about. But when you're doing like a review. And you've got downtime. You can talk about so much stuff. You can get across so much information and also get across your personality, which is like hard. I mean, this is the only other place we can really get across our personality. Yeah. So it's a it's cool to experiment with different mediums.
I'll be fascinated to see you with have a crack.
Medium. Yeah. You got me. It's a pretty nerve-wracking, honestly. I feel like I'll just mess up the game for someone, but...
Yeah. You just got to accept reality, dude. It's like our mindset of having a crack and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, I might just have a crack.
I was... Yeah, so Kai, interestingly enough, I didn't just start doing the lives. I actually, this was a long-term process, me thinking about, maybe right. this is, again, I kept on thinking,
is there something here?
Is this a tool? I want to experiment with it a little bit. Because you see all those like coaches and stuff, and you know, we've been really critical
yeah,
of it.
Yeah, like I remember we spoke a lot about Nice, and Nice, because this is how Nice does a lot of his coaching, right? Yeah. Live coaching.
Yeah.
And I've been very critical of it, because I've watched, because I'm like really fascinated, because look, talking about Nice, the whole, you know, his coaching, I think Nice gave a lot of value to certain clients. Like, I look at some of his old coaching, he gets across some really important concepts. Like, he actually gets across as well, playing with intensity really well.
That and was
like,
the live coaching format, right?
Yeah, even about, the live coaching. Like, he gets across some really important messages. At the same time, though, for that client, I just feel like for them, you know, it's not a great thing to spend money on, I don't think, though. Like, I don't think I would personally, like, the client, I don't think the client's going to get enough from a live coaching session such that they
to
can
warrant the price. Yeah, so mine's all free for
it's
that.
It's free.
Reason.
I would only ever do live coaching free, right? But, like, also, like, I don't think that what we can take away from this is going to be substantial enough such that it's actually going to change their behavior in the short term moving forward. Like, it could plant a seed. Right, like sometime down the line, where it's like, oh yeah, that person felt what it was like to play with a reference point, or blah 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 blah. But I can't guarantee that this is actually going to change the behavior in the future. So it's not that it gives no value; it's just limited value, relative or comparatively to a VOD. That's what that always felt. Now I've always felt like if we just looked at this together, we would get way more value. And I don't want to impede your learning journey. That's the main part. I don't want to make decisions for you. So, like, again, I think, yeah, you definitely give value, just a lot less. A lot less.
Yeah. Yeah, so mine's all free. Anyone can come on stream and join a
person. I mean, I think that's the best way to do it, for sure.
So, I did these just in my Soul 2 program for a little bit. Mm. And that's how I sort of got rid of the nerves and a little bit and stuff like that. And sort of understood that I was just going to send it and fuck up. So, when I went to the stream, I was a little bit more prepared.
I'm just going to send it if I do it.
You can send it. If when you do it, I want to watch and I want to review your coaching and get my thoughts to it. I'll be so fascinating.
Yep. We'll give it a crack.
And then have the end of review thing as well. Because
what would the end of review thing for me? Did one death, I guess.
Yeah, well, the idea of a bad death is okay, did the enemy net more gold?
Or bad death?
No, good. There is good deaths.
So you don't just do it on a death. If it's a good death.
It's a good death. We'll keep going. Yeah.
Okay, so
a bad death definition is like the enemy gets a lot more golden experience out of the play. But if you die and you gain net more value from it, then that's a good death.
So an example, give me an example of a good death that you wouldn't end the review on.
Right, well, let's say they you go for a dive and deny three waves and you die, right? Okay. So that's just because you net so much.
But what gold. What if they could have executed it better and not died?
That'll be a strike, but not an end of review.
Wonder what a strike would look like for mid though. Like, what would a strike, like
missed
a cannon?
Kills. Missing a cannon, yes.
Missing a cannon's a pretty big one.
But if you say that as a strike, the amount of pressure, people will fuck up, instantly get a strike. But that could be a fun thing you do, right? A lot of the say, I keep on saying.
Or maybe I do it as like a half strike
or something. Okay.
But like a big thing would be like, well, I don't know, what are strikes? What would strikes you reckon be like?
So strikes for me. So
what's the intention of a strike? It strikes like.
Let me get that up. I got it written down on my little FAQ thing, Curtis. All right, so let me read this. A strike is a mistake that is not, I mean, at the end of the day, that sort of stuff is game altering. Like, I got stuff here like poor missing kills, like poor execution in fights, messing up the gank execution, like not thinking about what minion they're going for, missing smites, reset in jungle camps, exceptionally slow first clear. Maybe it would be like missing too much CS. You know, if you miss this amount of CS in the first thing, like it's just a strike. But like, because at the end of the day, that is interesting.
Or like a sloppy base recall where they get cancelled on a base or something.
Yes, that's definitely a strike. So these are things that are like mistakes.
They're not game losing.
But they're not game losing.
They definitely impact the game, but they're not going to like, it's not like an
end review. You can't expect everyone to be pro players and shit, right?
Yeah, of course.
You know, like, at the end of the day, like a cancelled base could be the game in high elo, but like, you know, that's not it.
Right, so not end of review.
So not end of review, yeah. That's right.
Okay, I see what you mean. Yeah, I'll have to have a think about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very interesting.
Yeah, so you do it and I'll be very intrigued.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's going to be
people
in
the stream were asking for it, dude. People on the stream were asking
for it. It's going to be a meme, I'm going to tell you that much.
But that's what you got to embrace. You got to lean into it. That's what I did.
Yeah, I'm not going to pretend. I'm not going to pretend that I know what I'm doing.
No.
I'm just going to really make it obvious that this is just new. This is a new experience for me.
Great.
And I won't feel bad if it's for free, right?
That's right.
There's no pressure.
Yeah, there's no pressure. That's right.
Yeah, I wanted to talk a little bit about something about me. About my experience this week. You know, League is a great game for making you doubt yourself, you know, and, you know, I had a game this week and I had a few games this week where I was just like, you know, for us, right? We're at a stage of our journey where, given we're coaches and we've played the game for a long time, it's very rare that you genuinely don't know what the problem is.
Mm.
Like, usually you have this feeling where you kind of get out of the game and you're able to go, boom, yep, that led to that. And you could kind of like do a very quick synopsis and you can make peace with the game. There have been games I've had like this last week where I'm like, I genuinely am a little bit confused about what went wrong. Like, what's the core problem here, right?
Sometimes that doubt is triggered just from the trigger. It's like, why do these games feel... I must be missing something. It just seems... Why is it so hard? Like, it hasn't been this hard for me in the past to get to Challenge or 1K RP or whatever like that.
Right.
Another one is like, you know, doubting like... You know, you see someone else on the enemy team do something. Mm. You know that's a certain way you could play the game. You're like... Do I need to be playing that way?
Yeah. Do you doubt your own view of the game sometimes?
You know, like, you know, the biggest one that's always done that for me in jungle is like M4A1 playstyle. Right. It's like just really just making the game chaotic and just going for those level 2 ganks, level 3 ganks and stuff. Like, it's like, oh, is that what I need to be doing? You know, and you just doubt your own game plan, your philosophy on the game and stuff like that. Because especially when it happens back to back, and because you can discount one game, right? But when it starts happening a little bit more, this is where people doubt their champions a little bit too much. You know, they get back to back hard games for their champ, and then they just doubt the champ. It's like a miss with the champ. They're not thinking big enough.
Or even if you mis-execute, and then you're like, is this a mis-execution error, or is it just fundamentally just
not a good player,
not a great player, not a good thing?
Oh,
to
really?
Be in,
you know? I don't find those problems at all for jungle.
Well, for mid, it's a little bit more complicated, right?
Because
you have like lane hypotheses. It's like, what's the best way?
Yeah, that's a whole different thing.
To play
jungle,
this lane, there's so many ways to play lanes.
Yes.
Like with builds and runes and how and the waves and everything. And it's like, I've really been getting in my head about like the optimal way to play these meta matchups, like the Ori vs Syndra and Syndra vs Ori and both sides and all this stuff. I'm really trying to get into the nitty gritty, because what's been confusing is that, you know, you verse one player that's really competent at the champ, and then you verse someone that's not, maybe not so competent, and you get away with things. And then it kind of screws with your view of like,
what's actually... So when you say get away with things, you're probably talking about like lane phase type stuff.
Yeah, it's all lane. Like,
yeah, usually. Okay. Well, this is what I just, my descriptions of downing right there, you're on a whole nother level thinking about this, right? Because that doesn't happen in jungle.
Yeah, it doesn't happen in jungle. Yeah,
you don't sit there thinking about, I should play this matchup different. That's just not a thing.
No, it doesn't happen.
And most of it is like, oh, I'm versus Kindred. He's going to jump over my wall. I should ward out some of my blitz so I don't kill the god. That's like the extent that it is for jungle.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I didn't know what you meant by that.
Yeah, no, I mean my more lane phase. Like, yeah, is this the right way? Because you see so many players play lanes differently. Yeah. Like, you go onto YouTube, you can look at like 5 different pro players all playing a lane kind of differently. And then you verse someone in solo queue that you think that what they're doing is illegal and not the right way to play in mind, but that actually kind of feels maybe kind of good. And then like you start doubting what you believe is even the right way to play it. And then and then what happens is it seeps into like your confidence in a way. It's like, am I just like completely wrong here? And then they're like, well, but what if I am wrong? And then you start to like question. And I feel like this happens to a lot of people in general, because League is just such a complex game. And I, you know, long story short, I started doubting and, you know, having to really do some thorough research and just really getting into the details, really trying to look at other people's gameplay, getting into the details, trying to combine my own experiences with what other people are experiencing. And, you know, long story short, it kind of just messed with my mindset a little bit. And I went on like a little bit of like a, I did a lot of introspection. And I went back to kind of I found some like motivational videos on YouTube and it was like David Goggins stuff, yeah, right?
Back to the good old Goggins.
And there was something that like I heard and it just flicked a switch in my brain. Mm. And it was something along the lines of, you want to be the type of person and you want to think like this. You want it to be hard. Like, rather than praying for things to be easy, you want to pray and hope things are difficult so that it's a challenge so you can actually like test yourself. And I think that's such an interesting way to frame it. Like, when you go into a solo queue game, our intuition tells us, you know, I don't know what part of ourselves, but a part of us is like, we want it to be easy. We want to get the good teammates.
We just want to get the win. We just want the LP.
We want the good matchup. Mm. We want the counter pick. We want to get the jungle attention. We don't want the supports to come to our lane. We want the game to be as, like, intuitively, like, emotionally, we want it to be easy. But in a way, right, when you flick that switch, you know what? I want this game to be hard.
Yeah.
I want to be pushed to my limit. I want this game to be the harder the better.
Yep.
And when you flick that switch and I went into the game, I'm like, okay, bring it on. Make this the hard. And I literally was on stream yesterday and I picked Orianna, blind picked into like a hard composition. It was like a Jarvan Diana. And I just picked Ori, which is like, why would you do that? Like, surely you would play something that like a better matchup and whatever. I'm like, screw it. I'm just gonna play Ori, bring it on.
Yeah.
Like, I'm gonna rise up to the challenge. And when I flicked my mindset, I just played really good quality League of Legends, because my mindset wasn't cowering in fear. Like, oh my God, this is so hard. What if I make a mistake? The game's over. It's like, bring it on. I want the game to be hard. I'm going to rise up to the challenge. And if I make a mistake, I make a mistake. At least I'm pushing myself. I'm trying to do something that's inherently difficult. And like, it's just your relationship to difficult shit and wanting it to be difficult. It's like a different mindset. And I think for a lot of people in League, they would benefit from flicking that switch rather than wanting to be easy, wanting to get LP, free wins, win streaks, you know, good teammates. Flick the switch. I want to have, you know, like, literally say that. You may not believe it, but just say it. Give me the shittier teammates. I'm going to make up for it. I'm going to give me all the gank attention. Give support, come mid, jungle, come mid. I'm going to waste their time. I'm going to be as hard as possible to beat. Bring it on. And that mentality is like so powerful. And it opens up like a world of possibility. And I don't know, I just could be just delusional and this should just work for me, resonate with me.
Yeah.
But it just really, it just got me out of that whole self-doubt, like low confidence, just shitty mindset, yeah. You know?
So I don't think, I'm trying to think of how the other people could interpret or use this in terms of like a negative way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that this is the way you're using it, because you'll definitely use it, because I'm trying to push here. Like, But maybe some people could be like, okay, I'm going to make this game as hard as possible, so then it can tick off the narrative there that I can't climb or something like that. It's like, okay, well, it's fine that I can't win this game, because I ended up playing Ariana versus Jarvan and Diana, right? That's what I could see how sometimes people could... Again, it's not intentional, it's subconscious. Again, you could be like,
yeah, I can see
now
what
it makes sense, and the rank system's rigged and it's all against me. Mm. Like, even if I, you know, Curtis is telling me this, then, you know, fuck it, I'm just talented.
No, I can definitely see that. It's more about, like, just rising to the challenge. Like, instead of cowering at the challenge, it's like... it's like looking at the game being hard as a positive. That's what makes it worthwhile. Like, if League was easy, we just wouldn't play it. Like, if it was really that easy, if we always had the great teammates, we always had the counter matchup, we never had to, like, bust our balls to climb, we just wouldn't find it that interesting. And I think just really owning that, just really accepting that, it just, like, why am I complaining about how hard the game is? There's no poor me. This is what makes it fun. Stop complaining about that. Stop viewing that in a negative light. That is the positive of the game. So yeah, it's just a mindset, really. It's just a different way of viewing shit. And it just worked. I really, really deeply resonated with it.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
So you're back on track.
Yeah, I just feel really, and again, you know, League and life's just a roller coaster. You have ups and downs. You have moments where everything's easy. Yep. You know, life's good. You're healthy. This
is your solo queue as well. The last couple of weeks has been rocking and rolling. And then now you're sort of at that. Yeah. Again, it's just, dude, solo queue humble you so
humbles good. You. Whenever you think that you're...
you've worked it out, you're a fucking
beast.
There
was another David Goggins quote, right? And it was said something along the lines of, it was like, you can't, like, when you think you're going well, when everything's going your way and you're at your high point, it always, life always has a way of just reminding you and humbling you and bringing you back to reality and just being like, but yeah, sure, there's all this positive, but you got to remember there's all this shit here and this shit's going to happen. And then something negative is going to happen. And when that negative thing happens, you know, you got to be ready. You got to be ready. And like when I'm doing well in solo queue, right? I'm like expecting that shit's going to hit the fan.
Okay. Yeah.
You got to have that mentality. Yeah. You actually have to. Mm. Like when everything's going your way, I know that at some point the sunshine and rainbows is going to disappear. I'm going to be thrown into the fucking shit.
I'm going to have to figure it out.
I'm going to have to figure it out again. I'm just waiting for it to happen. It's going to happen. It's going to happen at some point. No matter how good you think you are, you're on your high horse, you're killing it, you're win streaking, you're going to get brought down. You're going to lose sight of your matchups. You're going to forget your reference points. You're going to tilt. Your shitty quality reviews. It's all going to go to shit. But then if you're anticipating that, you're not getting too egotistical and you're holding yourself to a high standard, you're aware of how easy it is to get complacent, you can kind of mitigate that damage a little bit. But dude, considering how long we played the game, I still get caught off guard by it.
It's brutal. It's really
I'm expecting
brutal.
It, but I still get caught off guard.
Even Russ, but we're just following our 3-block review process. Again, there's so many bad habits you can have with your review. You start focusing on the wrong things. The process can actually screw you as well, dude. You know? It's you're right. It's such a good statement there. The fact that we've been playing for so long, we coach so much.
Still.
Even us, we struggle fucking hard, dude. It's all okay.
Dude, it's just mental warfare, man.
It's mental
it
warfare.
It really is mental
it's
warfare.
It's a great game, dude. I love League.
Shit, man. Did you have any other topics?
No, I think we can...
Move on to Curtis's clips?
No, we do Summoner School first, Curtis.
I'm so excited to get to my clips.
We didn't do it last week and now you've forgotten the order, Curtis. We did 1 week and you don't know the proper BBC schedule in order.
We can't break the schedule.
All right. So today's post here came from Application Certain on Summoner School. The title of this one is After Playing Jungle, All the Lanes Feel So Weird. It's got 40 comments. Traditionally, I was a top main and hard start gold for a couple of months, but recently I played jungle for 50 games straight and now I'm plat 1. Now, going back to top and playing the champs I used to, nothing feels right. Like the macro required is a tenth of what it was on jungle, and the impact I have on the game feels so stilted. Is it just me? The game is so much more deep and interesting when playing jungle, especially considering camp timers, counter jungle, objectives, map presence, vision. Okay, so I actually have some interesting thoughts here. So when I read this, he's talking about, okay, I'm, you know, the typical, I'm a top player, I don't have much impact on my game. I have two examples in my head here of things that, like, I see the route that they've gone and how exciting that would be. Two players. So, you know, Adam, people, he's a BDS top laner. People, he's picked up a lot of hype for Worlds and stuff like that. In the Plains, he had, like, this Garen. And if you watch his Garen, dude, it was insane map impacts. Like, he was, like, insane. Like, he was literally, like, he knew the times of going for the enemy jungle camps. He knew, you know, he knew when to proxy and, like, you know, he knew his timers and stuff. You could tell that guy had put in a lot of effort into thinking about these things and practicing these things over and over again. And next one here, Curtis, have you played with that IM top G guy?
Yeah.
A Trinimer guy on one trick.
Very annoying.
He makes the game very, very annoying, right? And this guy, again, same thing. Like, dude, as a jungler, I'm sometimes in a situation where I have no topside camps. Like, if I fuck up once or overstands up, I actually lose my camps. Not even to the jungle, to fucking this guy, right?
I ban top laners a lot.
Yeah.
Fioras and Tryndamere's and stuff like that.
Yeah, so this guy plays like this Tryndamere. And, you know, mate, some type of champs, I'm not saying to just go start proxying and stuff like that, but there's always a way you can take your champion to have next level impact. And pursuing that's really fun. So, you know, he talks about here jungle. It's like, okay, maybe this guy is more in terms of his skill set. Mm. He likes the more macro sort of side of things. And like, okay, well, you know, playing, I don't know what top champs he plays here, but you know, let's figure out, at the end of the day, again, every champ, if you play the champ's US identity really well, you can figure out your own identity. If I rune set up something like that, you can have insane map impact no matter what role you're playing. I don't care if top lane people say top lane's not impactful. That's an exciting thing that you can go down to, and I feel like this guy has not taken that sort of steps.
I'm gonna give a metaphor or analogy for this one, Nathan. Okay.
Okay.
It's gonna be a bit weird, but I think it makes sense. Okay. Your interest with something will basically limit or help the amount of kind of depth you get to in that particular thing, right? So I'm going to give you an example. My dad he's just not a movie guy. Just doesn't like films. Like, he's not a movie guy.
Yeah.
Like, he just views them in a very black and white way. Like, he's just the classic, you know, watches like an action movie, views it as an action movie. There's no depth. When he watches movies, like, whatever's happening in front of me is the only thing that is happening. He doesn't look at the camera angles to try and foreshadow anything. He's not thinking about the character development. Yeah. He's not thinking about the lighting or anything.
He's just enjoying what's on his screen right in front now. Yeah.
And that's fine. I'm not here to judge. I'm just saying what my dad does when it comes to film. And we love film. We're kind of movie nerds and we'll get into the details. Wait, so
what does this mean?
What does this mean? What is it trying to represent?
What is the director trying to get across?
What's the message here? Yeah. And we love that, right? We're movie nerds. But then what's interesting is that when it comes to music, he's so into music. And he collects records and he knows so much about music and he's like super in depth. And like, he will sit there in the chair and just listen to music and like, just like mull over it, you know?
He'll listen to one piece, have a whole different experience compared to someone else.
Right. He has like an actual experience with a song. Mm. When for someone else listening to a song, like, what the hell? This like doesn't mean anything to me. And they won't view the beauty in the music. Like, I think my dad has like a lot of, like, he understands what like, just because his upbringing, he was in the music industry and stuff like that. He loves the music industry and stuff like that. My point being is that both of these mediums, music and film, can be infinitely in depth and infinitely complex, and you can get so much out of them. But it's up to you what you choose to get out of it. And so for him, right, tying back this back to League, he might just naturally gravitate a little bit more towards jungle, the jungle role. And because he enjoys it a little bit more.
Yeah, he's able to get results.
He's getting more out of his experience playing the role. And this is just, in my opinion, a testament to what you really enjoy. If you enjoy something, it resonates with you, you're going to get more out of it. He probably just didn't enjoy the top lane role. And he didn't resonate with the skill set required to get something out of it. And that's the equivalent of my dad film. And jungle is music for him. And so it is what you make of it. You get what you put in. If you give it that intent, that curiosity, that energy, that focus, you're going to get more out of it. So I think that this is just a testament to enjoying the role that you play. Anything can be made to look good, sound good, feel good if you want it to. But if you don't want it to, it can be the most miserable, most boring, most... Because think about it. If something is interesting versus boring, it's just subjective, right? It's just all subjective. Like, I can't stand playing AD carry, and I think it's a very, you know, I don't enjoy 80 carry, but some people love 80 carry, and I can understand that, and I respect that. It's just all personal taste. So I think that, you know, we got to be careful with the way, and this is why people like role shame, and because they don't understand the complexity of the role. So a much better mindset to have really is that all the complexity and all the nuance and all the little interesting things you know about your role in champion, you should expect that every role has that.
Yes.
You just don't know what it is. And like you correctly said, Adam was able to broadcast that, show that to the world with the top lane role. Right. And if you didn't see, you probably wouldn't believe it. So that's my two cents on it.
Love it. That's a great story metaphor with your dad there. Fantastic. That's basically what my point was trying to get across. But yeah, I think you did it really good there. And this is not just to say, you know, go and figure out how to be map impact and have, you know, split push and do all this sort of stuff. The two examples, just other examples that I think, you know, go watch our top lane Biopanther episode. Here's a whole different way of thinking about how to impact the map as a top lane. A huge one he kept on saying was, you know, out of base, when your wave's in, you don't need to attend to your wave. Go through mid first, then go top, just to see if there's something there. Like, these type of things can massively impact, you know, change the outcomes of your game. And you have other people there, you know, talk about the interest, like, you know, that, you know, Senior Kingping who watches the show. Like, the Singe, you know, player. He has a very specific sort of Singe. And there's other Singe players that do other things, but he's a Singe one trick. He loves that. He's figured that out. Not for me. Great, go for that. But again, these things do exist. Get some inspiration from somewhere else. And again, maybe you need to think that maybe you're just not that interested in top to try and get things to the next level, and jungles may be your role.
Yeah, 100%. Another way I've actually thought about it in League is that the more you enjoy a role, the more, like, I feel it's like, you know, we talk about the Rift being kind of like a canvas for a self-expression, like how you want to play the game. If you don't enjoy the role, the way I think about it is that you've only got two colors. You've got black and white. The more you enjoy the role and the more you learn about the game, you have more colors. You can actually express more in a way more in-depth way. You have more like techniques, more painting techniques, more colors, more experience. You can beautifully express who you are on the Rift because you have more things at your disposal, whatever.
Curtis, you're churning out these analogies. What the fuck did you have for breakfast this morning, Curtis, dude? You're on fire, dude. Jesus.
Yeah.
That is a great analogy, dude. Did you come up with that or use that before?
Yeah, I just came up with it.
Oh, God, Curtis. That's beautiful. Yeah, I could copy and paste that in my coaching, dude. That's when people get stuck on the champion, they're just viewing it black and white.
Yeah, they don't have enough colors. No, they don't have the skills. Yeah.
When I play Rek'Sai, compared to everyone who thinks Rek'Sai is black and white, but when I play Rek'Sai, I got a full palette. Yeah, I have so many techniques, and I can scale, I can do this. I
and that allows you to see like more things in the game.
Yes, I have so many options, dude.
And, you know, I think where I got that from was actually, you know, when people talk about food and they don't like, they like spice, like the way like spice is like a whole nother layer, because you think about like food, you have like sweet, salty, like sour, all these things. Like, imagine if in your place, in your country or whatever, in your cuisine, you never ever had chili, so you didn't even know that there's actually a whole nother sense, a whole nother like layer to work with. So imagine like all these dishes that maybe were bland. Like, for example, like you can even put chili flakes on like so many dishes, and that just changes the dish completely. But if you never were introduced to that, you would never even know that that was possible, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like in food.
Yeah. It's like going down like I see those documentaries like Indian spice. Like, people like go around like looking at spices that didn't exist or specifically in certain cultures and stuff.
Yeah, it's like an extra dimension.
It's extra, literally extra dimension.
Literally extra dimension. You're working with...
It's and like I'm an sitting there sense. Just chucking salt and pepper on my eggs, you know?
Right. But that's like, again, extending the metaphor, and it's actually true. It's like you're having the same condiments over and over again, but you can have a whole different... Not even the different flavor, but different like flavor profile, like, you know, all together. It's like three dimensions versus four dimensions. Like, it's like, what the hell? Which is pretty cool. But yeah, that's an interesting way of viewing it.
All right, there you go. Some food for thought for Mr. Application Certain.
All right, moving on to Curtis's clips. Let's get into the details, guys. And welcome, everyone, to Curtis's Clip Corner. So today, guys, we're going to be talking about respecting your teammates. Now, this is actually a very big topic. So big, in fact, that I might actually do a separate YouTube video on this, but this will be like a kind of an introduction to it.
Okay, fantastic.
So this was from a review this week with SLF. And this is not to call out SLF. I'm just using him as an example, but I see this a lot, okay?
Thank you for providing the learning material, SLF.
Yep. Thank you, SLF.
That's what I always say. Because I do my my daily clips in my Today in Soul 2, and yeah. I always say, thank you for providing this learning material, this person, when it's like a really embarrassing mistake. Yep. You got to contribute.
At their sacrifice.
Contribute yeah. to the greater cause.
At their loss. Okay, well, thank you, SLF, for this one. He's playing TF. He's rock and rolling. And to give a bit of context, the enemy Akshan, they had adversity in enemy Akshan. The enemy Akshan was also quite very strong, okay? So essentially, he's coming out of base here, and he didn't really want anything to happen. And anyway, this Akshan, like, you know, goes for like a play onto mid here. Well, fast forward, the details don't really matter. They end up kind of turning into a fiesta. They all die. And look what he says here in chat. You'll see in a second. He says, please, can you guys play on my R or Alt and stop doing moves alone. He's from Europe. He doesn't speak English fully well. So stop doing moves alone. So essentially telling his team to stop doing shit without him, right? And I said, okay, let's hold on for a second, you know, essentially. This is, look, your Kaiser was actually respecting. If we go back here, look at where Kaiser was standing when Kaiser got engaged upon here. Look at where he was in the lane. He's right next to the tower.
Mm.
Akshan just made a really... How can Kaiser know that Akshan's going to loop around here and come from this angle? It's only because Akshan is so fed that Kaiser got remotely chunked here, right? And so look at this. Kaiser was not committed at all. Kaiser was respecting. Kaiser was actually chilling. Now, all you've done is that you just jumped to a conclusion. You've just made an emotional response and just gone, my team, you guys are messing up my game. I'm playing perfectly. And in fact, he was the one that actually ruined the play. I won't get into that. That's not really, that's beside the point. My point being is that in the game, you're not able to know objectively what actually happened, right? You need to get, so rather than immediately just judging your teammates for making a play, take a second and be like, okay.
Look at the result of the play.
Right. Take time to look at it. Try and make sense of it after. Give your teammates the benefit of the doubt. The game is hard. Shit is happening everywhere in the mid game. Someone is going to get caught out. And the thing is, you by raging at them or you getting upset about them is not helping them, and it's definitely not helping you, because now you're going to get tilted. You're going to not be coherent. You're not going to ask yourself what's next, how you need to adapt to the game. The reality is that the game is incredibly complicated. And giving your team, just your teammates, just a little bit of respect that, yeah, they're not going to play perfectly. They are going to make mistakes. Giving them the benefit of the doubt goes a very, very long way. And even looking back at this in reality, he's like embarrassed. He's like, yeah, shit, actually, yeah, Kaiser wasn't actually that overextended hit. She actually was respecting. That was actually
It makes sense,
right? But you've just now just gone off on a hinge and just raged at this guy, yep. Poor guy, and he hasn't done anything really wrong. And so I think that this is really interesting. I say this all the time. People get so angry. They have this immediate response to when their teammate make a play. And they're ready to type an essay on there in their mind, saying an essay like, oh, my team is so bad. They do all these things. They're not listening to me. All they got to do is this. Stop fighting. But dude, there is a reason why they're getting caught. Either you didn't communicate with pings enough, or maybe that's just the way the game is going to pan out. The enemy have a lot of engage, in which you have to adapt. Your job is to get in the review, and only in the review, try to make sense of the situation. How could I have known this was going to happen? Could I have been there? Was this even avoidable? Maybe this was just inevitable and it was always going to happen. And I think that, like, managing your expectations of your teammates, not expecting them to be, you know, T1 world five teammates, not having these grandiose visions of having perfect teammates that are never going to get caught and they're only going to listen to you and everyone's going to have perfect macro. You're setting yourself up for failure. You're setting yourself up for misery. And your solo queue experience is just not going to be that pleasant. Do you see this at all?
Yeah, absolutely. I love it. I think it's really good. I think this does deserve a whole video. Lots of examples. Can you get more examples, Curse? I think you should really load it with the examples if you're going to do it.
Yeah, I can find them all the time. But I say it all the time where it's like, I had one in a VOD questions this morning where it was from Valley. And essentially, I think the way it worked was... Oh, yeah. So what it was is he was like playing a heavy trading Victor versus Syndra matchup. And he was like in a pretty commanding position. His jungler was making a play topside. And he was just like trying to cancel the base. But not only did he cancel the base, he tried to cancel the base and then flashed forward to go for the solo kill. And then I'm like, well, this is the worst thing to do because their jungler's around mid. Your jungler's making a play top. You're actually making your jungler's life harder. And then he was angry at the Diana. He was angry at his jungler for not coming mid. It's your responsibility to adapt to what is happening. And again, just because he made this decision, he's like looking for, again, the blaming the team for not being here rather than just adapting to what's happening in front of you. Another perfect example, a Jace review I did this morning. This is how often it happens. This is just today. A Jace review. His jungler Sylas was on the Rift Herald. He has control over mid versus the Syndra, taking great trades. Lands a QE. Instead of being disciplined and actually just protect your Sylas, just chill, like get prio, wait, don't make two plays at once. Goes for an all-in. The enemy jungle's able to kill, come mid and the support come mid. He dies and then just, you know, screws the game over. Because, you know, your poor jungler's doing Rift alone. You've now died. They can collapse on the Rift and it just turns into an absolute shit show. So, again, and then a lot of people, their default responses, you know, I mean, in this case, he didn't really blame the teammate. But that line of thought where it's like, they're the ones that are actually contributing to the play. It's got nothing to do with anyone else. It's your responsibility to adapt to what's happened in the game. And there's many, many examples. This one's just very obvious because, like, he actually, like, he was legit straight up in the wrong and blamed his teammate. But, yeah, I'm sure I can definitely find many, many examples.
Yeah. I'll say this. The game is so much more fun when you seek to understand why your teammates are dying, why they're behaving in certain ways. You learn so much. You actually become a more effective killer, a more effective player yourself when you start being curious and finding out these things from learning from your teammates. Some of that, your teammates are going to be on the enemy team, you know, at some point. You guys are on the same sort of same skill bracket. You're going to be making the same mistakes. When you approach that from that mindset, you become a much better player.
You know what this reminds me of? We're on the metaphor journey today.
Here we go, okay. So you got another
one. You know, we watched the Tom Brady documentary, and he does like a lot of like VOD reviews essentially, right? And like he would like look at like tapes, and like what he would be doing is like he would not only be thinking about like what he's doing, but he would obviously look at how is the defense working and everything, right? And like he would be thinking like he's like trying to take max responsibility in the sense like, how do I confuse their defense as much as I possibly can? And even though like maybe my defense could be doing things better, like I'm influencing that, you know, like he's looking for any way possible. Like he's not saying anything about his teammates or anything. He's like, how do I, you know, make it as hard as possible for them to read my play? He's like taking maximum responsibility. Like you can sit there and you could critique all of your team and like, they could be doing that better. They can be doing that, but they could be doing that better. But then when you start to think, okay, there's probably a reason why that my defense actually was struggling here. Maybe I was making it too obvious. Maybe I made it too easy for me to read, you know? So he's like going that next level. It's like, how am I contributing to this situation? That's like the next level. You're taking maximum responsibility.
Yeah. He's trying to find the invisible things. He's trying to min-max the invisible things.
Yeah. That's the next level, right? And I think that
too many players in the league just see surface. This is such a surface level thing. He says, oh,
yep,
we all died here. My Kai'Sa got chunked.
Yeah, you know, that's actually a really interesting point. When they see their laner die or a teammate die or their jungler make a play, it's like, oh, I can actually... Look, taking the time to actually understand why they died, it's not like they're idiots. It's not like they're literally slamming their head on the keyboard and doing... Like, it's not like it makes no sense. It may not be the best play, and yeah, I'm not trying to defend their play, yeah, but like, it makes some sense. Yeah. It's like they're missing something. For a classic one for junglers is that... I see this all the time in my reviews is like the jungle's like pinging assistance on the scuttle when we have no prior. And obviously they didn't process that. They didn't understand the mid matchups. It's like, it's not like this guy's an animal and he doesn't like, he doesn't understand anything. He probably thought, okay, top has prior.
Yeah.
And like, I'm kind of stronger, but mid does, and he couldn't accept reality that I have to give the scuttle because my mid doesn't have prior, you know? And I understand that. He's not perfect. That's why he's at his rank. It makes perfect sense. Right. But like, just like you said, like going through that thought process,
you have to go through that
makes you feel better about the game, but it also makes you a better player in general. And that's how you develop better game sense as well.
Game sense. Yes, absolutely. I love game sense. All right, I'm excited. Looking for the video curse. I'm excited for the little sneak peek, the preview. I think this was a very important one. And just get loaded with examples, Curtis, because everyone's going to come from it all angles. Not my teammates suck. You know, they're just bad. You know, sometimes that can be the answer, right?
I'm not trying to defend the teammates. They can be in the wrong.
Absolutely.
They can be. But the real thing is that you don't know. Until and you're never going to know until you actually get in the review. And then by then, it doesn't even matter anyway.
Yep.
Right?
All right. We'll move on to mailbag. Away we go.
song.
All righty then. Let's start with a success story today, Curtis.
I love success stories.
We love hearing success stories from our BBCers, sharing some lessons that maybe other people can learn from. It's always important. Obviously, you know, us, you know, as coaches, you know, we can only do so much. You know, at the end of the day, I think people relating to other people that have been in similar journeys is always something that people can really, you know, get behind and get inspired and motivated by, which is why we do these success stories. So this one's from Frankie. And Tyler's email is a BBC top laner success story. That's interesting. Curtis and I, we don't really know much about top lane. Let's explore. Hi, Curtis and Nathan. I'm Frankie, a top laner from NA and longtime BBC listener here. Been tuning in since the very start. I picked up League of Legends during COVID lockdown in 2020, roughly 3.5 years ago. Can you believe 3.5 years ago was 2020? That's crazy, isn't it? In Season 11, I hit Diamond 4 for the first time, bounced around Diamond for a few years, and finally reached Master Tier for the first time in the last month. Despite not playing the same role as either Curtis or Nathan, a lot of the lessons you guys teach apply not only to improving in my role, but to improving at anything in life. Here are a few of the biggest lessons that I've learned from you guys. Number 1, your climb will not be linear. I've faced off against a horde of different mental blocks in my league journey. The one that was most crucial to overcome was the idea that if my LP wasn't going up, I wasn't improving. As I sit here now, this is obvious, but to 95% of the ranked community, it isn't. In order to improve, you must detach yourself from the wins and losses and view progress in terms of what you learned from a game. If you don't understand how you contribute to your games, you won't improve. If you learn something before you queue up again, even something minuscule like I need to ward River level 1 when my jungler is Evelynn vs Graves, so she sees his invade, that is what improvement looks like in reality. And if you compound those small improvements over hundreds of games and multiple seasons, you will leave your ranked opponents in the dust in the long term. Number 2, it is okay to struggle with the process. Being disciplined in avoiding spamming games and not getting into the review was, and still is, one of my biggest obstacles. I know the process works and why, but as recent as 1 to 2 months ago, I was still spamming games and not reviewing. Falling off the wagon in this regard is something that has happened to all of us. And when you're in that state, it's hard to truly believe you can get your shit together. When the process doesn't get you results in the short term, it can feel like it's not working, which leads to falling off the wagon. Which leads to self-hatred and feeling like your journey is going nowhere. The truth is, it's never ever too late to get your shit together. No matter how screwed your MMR is or how many days you wasted playing 10 to 12 games without reviewing, this is the beautiful thing about League. Number 3, what feels unfair makes you stronger. This is the pinnacle of the lessons that I've learned from League, the Broken by Concept podcast, and maybe the most applicable to the rest of my life. Here's an example. My laptop that I play League on sometimes struggles with performance. Specifically, during moments of the game, my screen freezes for 1 to 2 seconds, and it happens more often when I'm in combat for whatever reason. This is a huge deal, especially when you need to time your abilities, Camille R to dodge Darius Q, Edge, for example. As you can imagine, nothing is more rage-inducing than to die or to lose a game because of this. However, I've learned to deal with it mentally and accept that it is outside of my control. Now when I play a full game with no lag, I feel grateful, not to mention completely unstoppable on the Rift. When I do lag, I know to remain calm and focus on what I can control. I've become nearly untiltable. The lesson for me here is that what feels unfair makes you strong. My opponents that didn't have to deal with their computer performance issues don't know what it's like to have situations completely out of your control, and maybe they'll mental boom when their jungler doesn't help them, or when they get counter picked in draft, or when their one trick gets nerfed, or when they get bad teammates for several games in a row. It won't faze me. Learning how to deal with adversity will make you stronger, a better player, and a more resilient human being. Thank you guys for doing the podcast. Never stop doing it. Also, huge shout out to Chippies, who I found through you guys. And I attribute a lot of my final climb from D2 to Master to his YouTube content, which is by far the best top lane content on the internet. I sit here today at 102 LP Master, knowing that I am at base camp, as Curtis will call it. I have many lost streaks ahead, many games where I will grief my teammates and solo lose us the game. Cannot wait to get started.
What a great post, man. I love that second one. The second one really jumps out to me.
The it is okay to struggle with the process.
Like, I think that, you know, you have to give yourself permission to fail. You're going to, you know, League is a, it's like a bumpy ass path with a lot of rocks, a lot of boulders there.
I referred to it before in the podcast. It's like a plane crash, dude. It's a mess.
Yep, it's a mess. It's an absolute mess. You're going to be crying. You're going to be sweating. You're going to be torn to pieces, but you just got to keep just putting one foot after the other. And it's not going to be clean. You're going to get complacent. And that's just it. Welcome to League. Welcome to League. It's an incredibly emotional journey, and that's just the way it is. It's a very hard game, and I think not setting that expectation to I have to do perfect three blocks and perfect reviews every day, and I have to, you know, no, that's just not gonna happen.
Yeah.
Shit's gonna hit the fan. You're not gonna do that, but you got to strive to it, but give yourself permission to fail.
I don't know if anyone can relate to this. It was sort of me, but I sort of noticed it more so in my peers in school, like primary school and high school. You know, at the beginning of the year, you get all excited. You're like, you go to the store, you buy like new pens and thing. You get like your pencil case and like your books and you organize everything. And then as the year goes on, you just don't really care too much about it. And then your books are messy, become disorganized. Can you relate to that?
Yeah, 100%.
Right? I think a lot of people can relate to that, right?
Yeah.
That's what it's like. Like, people hear about the podcast, they get all excited. Yes, I found this podcast. People have gotten results from it, or they join our programs, right? They get all their books, everything organized. Yeah. Everything looks neat, beautiful. They get a spreadsheet going. They start, you know, doing the things, and then it starts dropping off a little bit. And then it becomes, you know, a shit show. That's what I sort of relate to it when I hear about this.
No, interesting. I think that's also, but in the beauty of League, okay, when you're in school, it's very hard to like reset. You have to wait for like a new year.
Yeah, that's right.
Like once a year, you get a reset.
Yeah.
But in League, you can make that reset whenever you really want. Like I actually talk about it all the time with my clients. That people say to me, Curtis, I'm, you know, for example, I get clients all the time in the MLS. Say, oh, look, I haven't had a chance to play League for the past 2 or 3 weeks. I'm feeling really rusty. I've dropped so much, blah, blah, blah. And I say, look, we're going to start from scratch here. We're going to do a 2-week challenge, or, you know, we're going to write up a solo queue contract. Boom. This is your rank. This is the process. We're going to start from scratch. You can just start from scratch whenever you want, right? You don't need to wait to the end of the season. You don't need to wait to the end of the year. You can do that now. You just got to write yourself up a little 2-week contract. Boom. Just you're rock and rolling. So I feel like, you know, you always talk about you love starting from scratch. You love that mental reset. It's like, all right, everything I've done is a waste of time. I'm just going to start from scratch. Screw it all. Yeah. Change my champ pool. The way I view the game was wrong. Boom. And it's just like a mental like reset. You can do that whenever you want. Mm. And I think that that's kind of like the way I view it as well. Like you go through stints. It's like, okay, I've been rock and rolling now for 6 to 8 weeks. Turns into a plane crash. No, you know how we say it is a plane crash? Let's get more specific. I think parts of it are a plane crash. I think the solo journey is like, time back to your metaphor, it's like you're getting ready, you're packing all your bags, you're going to the airport, you get everything's packed, everything's all organized, you get onto the plane, smooth sailing, and then it's like a gradual descent into a plane crash, and then you're like left trying to repair all the damage, and then like you get to go back to the airport, get on another plane, and go again.
Okay.
And like, in a way, like, it's like inevitable. At some point, you are going to derail, right? Shit's going to hit the fan. You're going to get complacent. You're going to get knocked down. You're going to feel shit. You're going to go on a loss streak. Things aren't going to go your way. But like, I think over time, every time you go through this experience, you get slightly better. The damage is less and less.
Yeah.
Right? Such that it's not this some crazy severe plane crash every single time. Maybe it's like a window cracks or something. But like, you get the point, right? It's like it's less severe every time you go through it. But it's inevitable. There is always going to be some sort of damage inflicted onto you, and you're not going to just, you know, stick to the process perfectly. It's not going to be sunshine and rainbows the whole time. And you are going to have to try and find a way to brute force that mental reset. That's at least what I resonate with.
Yep. No, absolutely. I think that's a really important one. People beat themselves up a lot about, you know, How can I just not follow? You use the word.
You just have bad weeks. You know, you talk about that. Sometimes you just piss away a month.
Yeah, you got to know you're going to piss away. I love pissing away months. I love it.
Like sometimes I haven't progressed this past 2 months. It is what it is.
I mean, more often than not, you actually have, in a way. Like, having that experience actually is progress, in a way. Like, kind of. That's
sometimes.
The way. Sometimes. Sometimes it can obviously be really backwards.
Sometimes it just means you're just plateauing.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's the way I view it sometimes. I'm not maintaining. There's no maintaining.
You're either getting worse or better.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because I mean, maybe you are just making just glacial progress, but it's just so slow, it doesn't even feel like you're moving anywhere.
That's right.
Or maybe you're going slowly backwards. I don't know. It's interesting.
I really liked the perspective that he had of like, okay, if I'm struggling with literally tech issues, anything that happens on the Rift is like, that's just secondary.
Right.
And that's like something that he's built. If anything, that's great that he's had that experience. That's actually, again, he views it as an edge over his opponents, that he literally freezes in team fights. You know, that's anything else is just, that's easy for me, dude. This is what I got to deal with. You can, at least you can control your character.
I like it.
And yeah, it's awesome to hear people from other roles also getting success from our mantras here. As well as like combined with Chippies, who used to be one of our players back in the Dials days.
Shout out Chippies.
All right. Moving on here. This one comes from Hunter. The title of this one is Question on Mental and How to Improve It. Hey, Nathan and Curtis, I'm Hunter and I've been listening to the show religiously for the past year and a half, and I'm happy to say that you guys really helped me to stay on track to reach my goal of Grandmaster on the EUS server. Even though I'm a top lane main, your podcast really helped my process. What the hell? We got another top lane main here. I didn't even read that part.
Top lane episode.
Top lane episode. We're just going to start our top lane academies, Curtis. Let's go. My journey is not over though. Since I've been enjoying the competition so much, I'm still very motivated to get Challenger and see where I can land on the ladder. I have a very specific problem though. You see, the main way I was able to get higher LP was not by playing that much better. It was by taking a nuclear approach when it comes to my mental. I insta full mute as soon as there is even just one ping that tilts me. My chat is disabled in the settings, and after a game lost where I played almost perfectly that tilts me particularly, I just stop playing for the whole day to avoid tilt queue. What's happening is that despite my OPGG being very clean, most losses have the cool blue ace thing, my KDAs are all good, etc. In game, I'm still very on edge. I still tilt extremely easily. Even easy games are mentally exhausting, and almost every day I end on the second game or even first game. If I'm a positive in LP, I know I'm going to be overconfident going in the next game, and if I am negative, I just cut my losses short before I spiral into tilt queue. While following the process led me to better results and better consistency in games, after years, I still see that my mental hasn't improved much. And the only thing I can do is employing these cheap tricks to make sure I don't self-sabotage. The question is, will my mental ever improve naturally? I am 19, so maybe I'm just not mature enough yet. Or is there something you would recommend to introduce in my process or anyone that has similar problems process?
Okay, so yeah, I've got a very specific take here.
Okay.
He is 110% attached to LP. That's the reality. The reality is that that's fine, right? People... especially when you're younger, you get really attached to LP. And to the point where all of his process, in a way, is kind of filled with these little gimmicks and band-aids, right? It's like, I'm going to end my block if this. I'm going to do the mute if this.
What do we call them? You don't think they're tools in a toolkit?
They're tools, but I feel like they're actual band-aids. Because they're not like... It's interesting. It's a fine line, right? Between like a band-aid and a genuine tool. I think it depends on the underlying motive behind it, right? We'll come back to that. We'll circle back to that. But the core problem is that he cares so much about the LP and the win versus loss rather than the actual learning, is that he's not actually a student of the game. You become mentally unstoppable when you are okay with losing. And you just, again, are completely and utterly focused on the learning. Like, you have to detach. You have to just say to yourself, okay, right now, if I play without fear, I don't really care about my LP right now, to genuinely just do what I can and really get maximum learning and play more games. I am going to tilt. I might not be able to play my best every game. And I might go down. I might drop 400 LP. I might go from 600 LP all the way to 200 LP. So be it. But if I'm getting in repetitions and I'm truly curious about my gameplay, at some point, the learnings that I will get will overcome that loss of LP, and I'll just become an autopilot 600 player. You know what I mean? So like, okay, you get those people who play the system. You see them all the time in solo queue, where they've got like this crate, they have a really minimal amount of games played.
They like dodge certain games.
They have this super sophisticated dodging practice. They tell people what to ban. They look on OBGGs. They go the full nine yards to just try and maximize the chances of winning that one game. And look, that can be okay. That can be fine. But it's the underlying mindset. You're so attached to the win. You're so desperate. You're desperate for the win, in fact, that you're not actually thinking about the learning you take away from the game. You're like breathing a sigh of relief every game you win, rather than like, what did I actually take away from this game? You're not a genuine student of the game. And I know this for a fact because I remember back in, back between the seasons of 7, 8, 9, right? I was a coach at Direwolves, right? So I couldn't actually play much solo queue. And I was like, in a way, like kind of just maintaining my level of play and just focus on the LP. I wasn't actually a student of the game. And so like, I was like that type of player that I'll just play, get the LP and kind of like...
You're just trying to get challenger.
I was just trying to get challenger and that's it. Like I wasn't actually trying to genuinely get better at the game, right? And I could see the difference in the way that me and Schoenfire at the time would conduct solo queue. Schoenfire would just play, not give a shit about anything else. Doesn't matter what the champions are.
A new champ comes and you just test the champ straight up on his main.
He's just a 100% student of the game, curious about the game, genuinely just wants to get better at the game. He doesn't give a shit about LP. He didn't give a shit about looking cool, OPGs, win rates, just be a great player. And he was an incredibly dominant player comparatively to anyone else because he had that student mentality. And I knew what it was like to be on the other side of the coin. I could be at a similar rank, but I'm nowhere near the caliber of player as that. You know, it's like real knows real. Like, you know in that game that player is way better than you, even though you're at a similar rank. And so I think that, and what that is like that guy showed he could play at that level any day of the week, rain, hail, or shine, no matter the teammates. But that was me playing at my absolute best every game I had to like go through mental hoops and everything just to get to the level. So that guy, this guy who's riding in, let's say 600 LP, 600 LP is like the absolute limit of his play. That's like ticking every box, using every tool in the shed. Whereas you want to be the player that is able to play at that 600 LP level.
Yeah, that's your autopilot.
That's like your baseline.
Yeah.
There's a very big difference. Mm. You'll know. You wouldn't even have to sweat. Every game will just be easy. And even though that sounds ridiculous, that actually is possible. So like, and again, the crux of the problem is he's not a student of the game. And he has to get rid of the fear of failure and the fear of losing. He has to let go. He has to ruin his account. He actually has to ruin his account. And I guarantee you, he said he's got the great win rate. He has to ruin that account. And then he has to build that account back up, doing what you did. Go down, ruin your MMR, do the whole nine yards, and then just slowly grind it back up. Yeah. That's my two cents. What do you think?
Yeah, I really like it. I like that he put his age in there.
Mm.
He's 19, really young whippersnapper here. You know, like, again, he's going to be very, you know, not really mature emotionally. He's still becoming, you know, finding himself. Yeah. You know, like, interesting, when I actually read this email, like, okay, which is, I don't know how to say this. You need to help me here, Curtis.
Okay.
Because this is really dangerous.
Okay.
In a way, him being like an extremely emotional, tiltable player has sort of helped him get to where he is, in a way.
Okay, expand on that.
Expand on that. Fuck, I'm struggling.
Just have a crack.
Have a crack. Having a crack here, Curtis. I'm just trying to think how to package this up here.
Give me the gist. It doesn't have to be... What's the gist? What are you trying to get across? Baseline. I can read between the lines.
Okay, so he cares about the game a lot.
Okay.
All right?
Yep.
So clearly, like, this is actually what I find, you know, a big difference as well. We've seen, you know, the pro players that we've worked to, they're not... Especially the ones in the past, maybe it's going to change in the future, but they're not Zen monks and stuff. They're super tilty, super maybe toxic. You might hear stories and stuff like that. It's it's a fire that I don't want to put out for him in a way. That's like, that's what I'm sort of saying, right? Right? Like, I like the competitiveness, right? Which is forcing him to tilt and stuff like that. Which, if you want to push a challenge, you want to be a pro player stuff, you know, I don't want him to become like a zen, like, push him to that. I don't think that's reasonable for us to be telling a 19-year-old here, you can suddenly, I think that'll come with maturity. He's 19 right. years old, right? I think the student of the game mindset, you know, you might be hearing that. I think that's going to take a while.
It's hard to adopt.
Yeah. Like, I feel like that maybe he's going to have to hit rock bottom and then, like, build back up. Like,
that's what he, like, I totally see where you're coming from. Yeah. I know where you're coming from. You know what I'm talking about? There is that fight. You know where it actually comes from? It's like, it's ego. It's insecurity. It's, it's like, I want to show other people that I am this good. It is.
When you hear some of the greats, that's what a lot of their stories are.
There's nothing wrong with that. Yeah. There's actually not, I don't, like, at least in the short term when you're young, I don't really see that as a big problem. It's good to have a chip on your shoulder and, like, want to have something to prove, right? I don't really have a problem with that. I do like that you're wary of that. I will say, though, that, like, if you really want to just cut the crap, though, like, if I were to go back in time, and I'm just going to speak from my personal experience, if I were to go back in time, I would have cared way less about rank and way more about substance.
Yep.
If I could go back in time and tell myself how, if I were to tell myself how to be the best possible league player at that age, back in 19, when I was at uni, I was like, you know, top 10 challenger or stuff, same age, I would have cared less. And because I remember as well when I pushed for rank one that season, I was like 19 or 20, right? And like, I was top 10 and stuff. I was really like sweating over every game. Like, I was thinking so much about how to game the system. Like, how do I min-max every game? How do I, like, what do I ban? And, you know, how do I, like, win this game? And I needed to, like, get out of that mindset. Like, I needed to be more like Shern. And in the sense that, like, he was a true student of the game. I was relying on kind of talent crossed with just... Yeah, like, I don't know how to frame it. I don't really have the terminology for it. It's a mindset switch. And I wasn't okay dropping and then working my way back up. That wasn't an option for me. Yeah. It was do or die. I have to stay at this rank. Yeah. I wasn't confident in my ability to do that.
You're attaching your identity to your rank.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And too much. But I guess I didn't have that. I didn't have that shooter mentality, though. I wasn't a student of the game. Yeah. I was like a competitor. Definitely a competitor. I cared a lot about winning and I wanted to win. I'll do whatever it took, but I didn't have that. It was a different...
Yeah, maybe it's you did whatever it took, but it to your negative in a way.
And it's like, short-term. It's short-term.
It's short-term versus long-term. It's short-term
versus long-term. Yeah. Because in a way, right? Okay, let's just get fucking practical. Let's just cut all the bullshit, right? Let's say at the moment he's a 19-year-old kid and he has a shit ton of time at the end of the day, right? He could be playing a 3-block and then a 2-block, or even 2 3-blocks, right? But let's just say a 3-block. He could be playing 5 games a night, pretty conservatively, right? Let's just say that. If he's ending blocks after one game, let's just propagate that out over time. Let's say then after 100 days, right? He's doing maybe on average 1 to 2 games a day over 100 days. That means you're getting what? Somewhere between 100 to 150, say 150 games on average between over those 100 days or whatever. If he was to play a guaranteed 3-block or maybe 5 games a day, he could be tripling, quadrupling the amount of games he's playing, right? You're going to be a much better player. If you're playing 500 games at a grandmaster level at the age of 19 versus 150 games, it's just night and day, no matter how much intensity you have.
This is, again, going to the band. That specific stopping after you've played a tough
that's,
game
that's
thing.
That's unacceptable.
That's not a tool.
Band-aid. It's a band-aid.
Yeah.
That's unacceptable. There is no excuse for that. That is going to bite you in the ass. You can get away with it now and you can play the system and you can min-max your win rate now, but you're just not going to get enough games and you're not going to be curious enough. You're not going to have enough experiences to be a genuine high-quality player, you know?
Yep.
So you got to get the reps in. That fear of failure, that fear of losing, that's holding you back. The best players, I think all the best players, think about in our server, in our experience in Divals, right? None of them were afraid to queue up.
No.
Not one of them. No. All of them were just grinders, just getting in there. They wanted to win, but every game was a battle, but they weren't scared to queue up. It's like, fuck everyone else. I'm going to go in. I'm going to dominate. That's the mentality. I don't give a shit what's on my team, who's on my team. I'm fucking going in there and killing it. But he's got that opposite. He's scared. He's timid. He's trying to, again, play the system. The fact that he's getting so tilted, the reason he's getting, I believe, I would hypothesize why he's getting so tilted, is because again, he's so attached to the wins and losses. Whenever he loses, it's like he's so afraid of losing.
The fact that even he's referencing his OPGG and loves the ace and stuff like that.
Exactly. Yeah, it's very telling. It's that story. You got to have a good relationship with losing. To be a great player in league, you got to learn how to lose. You do. You got to learn how to lose. You got to know how to win, but you got to learn how to lose. You got to have a great relationship with losing, in fact.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, no one, even as a competitor, like, you know, even someone like Faker, he's had some pretty bad years, you know, like even the best players, you've got to learn how to lose 100%.
You've got to learn how to lose and you've got to get those reps in. That's what I mean. Like, I'm not saying kill the fire.
Yep.
But you got to channel it. You got to like use that motivation to expose yourself in a way.
I like it. I think there's some good things to explore.
Yeah, I don't really have all the answers. You know, it's a bit complicated.
It's a bit complicated.
There's a lot for him to have a think about, you know. Mm. That's just, you know, where our experiences, what we've seen.
I think it's good. All right, our next question here is from Nam. The title of this email is Struggling to Start a Block. Hello, Curtis and Nathan. I've been finding it difficult to start a block. Most of the time, I'll skip it completely. I tried reflecting a lot, and I came to the conclusion of working out more, going outside, and going to bed earlier. It didn't work. The exhaustion doesn't go away. I don't think I have ranked anxiety either, since I feel the same way about wins or losses. So I forced myself to play many times, but I can't keep doing this forever. What should I do about this? Should I keep forcing the blocks?
I mean, at least for me. I mean, you're right if I start this one.
Sure.
I just think that he needs to put league to the side. League comes and goes for some people. There are people I've seen in my program that they were in the MLA for like 6 months. They take a break. They want to do something else. And then they come back maybe 8 months later. It's okay. Or you may not come back. It's okay. Like, you should never be forcing yourself to play.
That's right.
Anything. It's do any hobby.
Fun. It's going to be fun.
It's going to be fun. Yeah. It's got to be somewhat enjoyable. You're going to be somewhat motivated. If you're forcing yourself to find motivation to do something that you should theoretically enjoy, that's a red flag. So, in my opinion, put it to the side. It's not going anywhere. The BBC's not going anywhere. There's no harm, no foul. You need to explore, spend your time doing other things. And then one day you might feel like, you know what? I feel like playing some league. And you're going to get, and then who knows? Maybe you'd be like, you know what? I want to stay away from it. And or you might be like, I'm ready and I want to take it seriously again. Yep. That's my two cents on that.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. The first thing I was going to say is, whenever I see the word force into play block,
it should never feel like a job. It should never feel like a chore.
Because he says it's not ranked anxiety, right? So that's different. People with ranked anxiety things. Yeah, that's right. And, you know, he talks about exhaustion. Is he talking about he doesn't have, maybe he's something about his schedule he didn't really talk about here. Maybe is he working too much? And he has a day job there and he gets exhausted, or maybe he has some responsibilities he needs to attend to.
Well, you can also feel exhausted or tired when you're doing something you don't want to
do. Yeah, it's the same thing as well, isn't it? Yeah.
Right, whenever
you'll find the energy.
If it's like at school, you just study. It's like, oh, I'm so tired. I don't want to do this shit.
But yeah, it's like, oh, could play some video games.
You always find energy.
Here we go. That's how you'll find the energy.
No matter what, you'll find the energy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I think. So I think it's nice and simple. And either way, you could do it as an experiment. You could put league to the side for like 3 weeks, 4 weeks, right? And just see what it feels. If you're missing it, because you got to really want to have the fire to play. It's not a game you can play casually. But like, you might find 3-4 weeks, oh, I'm really missing that. I'm missing something. It's fine. Come back. No big deal. But if you're not, then that's a sign that continue to do other things, explore other games. I know Felipe, long-term BBC listener, he moved on to like F1. He's doing the race simulator. We've got Daniel. He moved on to like getting really into running and stuff. There's heaps of people that are in the BBC universe and in our coaching sessions and stuff that have just moved on.
Yeah.
That's fine. No big deal.
Yep. They come in and out. Yeah.
Exactly.
All right. That's all we'll do for today's episode then, everyone. Good work. Any final comments, Curtis?
Oh, I'll probably... How will I announce it about my stream if I do it?
I would just do it straight up with your community.
Do it with my current community. Yeah. And then if I end up doing it...
Then we can talk about it.
I'll talk about it in the next episode.
Yes.
All right.
I think that's the plan of that.
Sounds good.
All right. Good work, guys. Let's keep on 3-blocking, improving, becoming a student of the game. We'll see you next time.